listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 138. Okay, the Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who's way too excited for his coffee, John Brownstone.
Damn straight.
You did a dance, man.
I did.
You did a dance.
And I enjoyed it.
Glad somebody did. This week, we're talking about making the transition from LDR to in-person DS. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net, which that URL now works again.
Yes.
Thank you, dumb signs. Mm-hmm. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us, and reviews really do help. And I have been told, although I have not verified this for myself, that on iTunes, you can review individual episodes, and those
really?
All count. Yeah, I've never done it myself.
Oh, wow.
I think I need to try it.
Did not know you could do that.
Yes. So if that is true for our Apple Podcast listeners, feel free. But only if it's a good review, please and thank you. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1.
Don't be a hater.
Oh, on this, I'm a hater. I'm a bitch about it. I'm that much of a hater. Or you can now follow us or even watch this episode on YouTube.
Wait, they can watch us?
Oh, yeah, they can see us. That's why we had to put clothes on before we started. Yeah. I'm going to give the link now so people can come watch us. Okay. We're at YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm. It is not a link I hate, which is nice. All links are in the show notes. If you are watching this on YouTube, in the description will be a link to the show notes, so you can get all that information there. I do have announcements. They will probably go off the rails because we go off the rails all the time, so just bear with us. A reminder, we're on Patreon.
Yes.
Love our kinky patrons. We've had several people join us. I think for the last, I haven't decided, we'll have to talk about it. Either the last episode of a month or the first episode of the month, we'll do a shout out to our patrons in a way that preserves your anonymity. I'm not going to give like full first and last name. That's not cool.
No.
Because we do want to acknowledge the people that are helping us.
Sure.
Because they are making this stuff actually happen. They hosting and all kinds of stuff we pay for. It's at this point it's totally paid for by Patreon.
Keeping that little blue light on.
On the microphone that we actually turned on for this episode.
Yes.
There you go. So you can join for as little as $1 a month, and that gets you access to everything we put out, which includes two podcasts of me going through my blog archive, which is kind of huge, 1,800 posts. I can't stop writing. And that's just on one blog.
Yes.
And then also we do a bonus section on Patreon that talks just about the behind the scenes. And we post pictures that to show what John Brownstone is doing. You are almost to the point. So we're recording on Thursday. This episode will go live on Friday for audio, and then on YouTube for the following Monday, which will be July 24th. Sometime between now and then, you might be able to publicly show the thing you've been making because it arrived at its destination today, right?
Correct.
Okay. So if you're on Patreon, you've already seen it, and we've already had several people go, oh, I want to know more about that. Yes, that's a win there.
So right now I've only posted the pictures on Patreon.
Right, so sort of a first peek kind of thing. So if that's kind of stuff's important to you,
you'll
get that stuff. But hopefully by the time even the YouTube video of this goes live, you'll be able to talk about it more publicly, which will be so freaking awesome.
Yep.
So all of that, as low as $1 a month, if you do a different level, 5, 10, even 25, I do have somebody who's doing 25 a month. You get other perks, and I really need to sit down and like get my shit together to do those other perks.
Yes, we do.
I know. I've been saying for a month.
I've even asked you.
I know. Y'all know how
I am.
When
are you going to do that?
I
even dragged the tripod out one night.
No, not the vid. Not that.
Oh, not that?
Not that. Oh. No. Okay. I mean, yeah, we need to do that too, and I've been procrastinating. But no, if you're a $5 member, that's easy. You get, there's a survey you get to do. But if you're a $10 member, you get something in the mail. And if you're a $25 member, you get something in the mail. And I haven't put anything in the mail in a while, and I need to do that. So to my Patreon people who are listening, I know. So there's that. I also would like to pimp the man I love most in the world.
You're pimping me out?
I'm totally pimping you out. Cool. We need money, man. We're trying to like sell a house and buy a house and do all kinds of stuff. We need money.
I don't know if pimping me out's the way to achieve that, but
I've met some, I think the term is, and somebody's gonna laugh at me, I've met some thirsty submissives out there and they'd pay good money for that. Okay. Just saying. But no, I am pimping you for something else.
No.
So we've talked in many past episodes about how John Brownstone is on Etsy.
Yes.
Selling his vanilla goods, pens and bowls and all kinds of really cool stuff. Well, he's actually slowly transitioning away from Etsy to your actual website, which is The Wood Dom, T-H-E-W-O-O-D-D-O-M, thewooddom.com. Mm-hmm. And it's his whole shop there that you can shop there. And here's the thing. We recognize that Etsy is more convenient for some people. And while he's still on Etsy, that's cool. Do it, you know, do what works for you. If you've got a gift certificate on Etsy, use it on freaking Etsy. But we're transitioning away from Etsy because if you purchase through his website, thewooddom.com, let me just reiterate, he makes more money off of that sale. He doesn't have to pay as much to Etsy. Yeah. So it's a better thing for him. You can sell different things that you can't sell on Etsy.
I can sell some different things that I can't sell on Etsy, like e-cig drip tips that I've made in the past. Etsy shut me down for putting them on there one time.
Shut the whole account down.
Didn't just take down the listing. Shut down the whole account.
So
and Etsy has made making some changes and not really too happy with the changes that they're making as a seller, because it would mean I'd probably in the long run have to raise my prices.
Right, and
I don't really want to do that.
No, not a. It's one thing to raise your prices because the quality goes up or the materials are more expensive or rare or whatever, but it's another thing to have to raise your rates just to try and keep up with all the rates you're being charged. And I know that's, you know, capitalism 101, but still, if you don't have to do it, why would you do it?
Exactly.
So there's that, thewooddom.com. That'll be linked in the show notes. Please go visit, go check it out. Even if you just go look around, we know right now it's not gift giving time for anybody, but if you see stuff, you can go, maybe I should do that at Christmas or something.
Someone might be celebrating Christmas in July.
You were going to celebrate Christmas in July.
I know.
Did not work out, though,
this year. Didn't work out. I didn't get everything done in time.
So that's the vanilla stuff. And then the kinky fuckery stuff. The weapons of mass destruction.
The Wood Dom After Dark.
You keep calling it the Wood Dom After Dark, but I have stuff there, too, you know.
I know.
The URL is kaylalords.com/shop. It is actually changing. We're changing our shop. We're not taking it away. We're not going to have it, but we did have
We're restructuring
it a little bit to make it run more efficiently. Right now it's housed within kaylalords.com, which slows everybody down. The products are going to be there. If you know specific links, you can kind of get there. It's a little confusing right now. But we talk about the canes. We talk about the paddles. We talk about this mystery thing that you've been making and working on. I know that we're not publicly talking about yet until we can, and we're so ready to be able to. Only because we don't want to spoil a surprise, and the internet is a much smaller world than you think it is, and we don't want to spoil a surprise.
Especially in the kinky fuckery world.
Oh my God, I know. It's like we all know one another. Even when we don't know, we know one another. So the shop for all of that stuff might be hard to find right now, and that's on purpose because we're restructuring it.
See, me rebuilding my site gave her incentive to rebuild the other site.
Sure. I've been wanting to rebuild that site, but that's okay. Yes, you can have the credit. It's fine. You can have the credit. So that's what's going on there too. So those are our announcements. Patreon.com/KaylaLords. As low as a dollar a month. Thewooddom.com to buy vanilla gifts for yourself or for others, quite frankly. And then the shop for all the kinky fuckery, that's temporarily down, but we know it's temporarily down and it's on purpose. For once, it's not an emergency.
It's on purpose.
So
we actually were in the middle of doing something good with it.
I know. And it's not going to look that much different when I'm done, but it's just going to be restructured so it should move smoother as well.
Right. It's going to have its own little world.
Exactly. Because everything deserves its own little world.
Right.
So with all of that, look, I just want on the record, the craziness that always starts an episode, shorter than usual.
Yes, it is.
So this is...
That's because I'm too intent on this delicious coffee you made me.
I know. My coffee tastes good, too, and I want to drink it, too. Anyway, but I really want to do the episode. Look at you getting me distracted by coffee. Episode. This episode was not just inspired by anything. This episode was requested and... was the sweetest reminder I think I've gotten. I think sometimes some of us can be so rushed and fast on the internet when we're talking to one another. We don't always think about how we might sound. I know I do it where you go, what about this? And the way the other person reads it is like full of tude. And the person who reached out to me on Instagram was so sweet and said, I am so sorry. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just asking. I swear to God, I'm just asking. She's a baby girl who apparently is going through something like this herself. And she very sweetly reminded me that back in episode 83 and 84, we talked all about long distance relationships and said, oh, we'll probably come back and do another one all about the actual transition. If you make it that far, not every LDR relationship has that happen.
Right.
Sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it never happens. You just stay LDR because that's what works for your life. But for those people who do transition, then, you know, there's a whole thing for it. And she says, it's been a while. I thought, I wonder how long it's been. It's been over 50. It's been a year.
It's been over a year. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. So this was long overdue. You will hear a lot of familiar things in this episode because we have talked about these things in bits and pieces in a lot of other episodes. I didn't even write a companion blog post to this. I'll link to the one we had because we actually did a post back around episodes 83 and 84 about the transitions that you make in DS from this to that and whatever. And I was like, well, anything I could write specific to LDR that's about transitioning, I mean, there's a lot I could write about LDR, would mean we'd have nothing to talk about in the episode. So I decided I wouldn't do that. But this is something that we know very, very well.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who's listened to the episode on our origin story knows, and we say it all the freaking time. We don't let anybody ever forget that we used to be LDR. I feel like that's street cred. Like, I mean, if you came across us and didn't know anything about us, you'd think, oh, these people have been married for 30 years and they've, you know, whatever. It's like, nah,
no.
I keep doing the math and we have known each other not quite 6 years. We've been together as a DS couple, like a sexual, romantic, long-term couple, not just friends who kind of had a DS thing going, for only 5 years.
Right.
We've only been married as of the time of the recording of this episode, not quite 9 months.
Right.
So, no. If you thought we'd been together forever, nah. No.
It seems that way some days.
You know, I don't find that amusing. For the record, I listened to you eat your lunch the other day and didn't run screaming from the room, so it's fine. If every minute with me feels like 100 years, I'm good with that.
Just like me eating my lunch and I hear...
For anybody confused, I can't remember what episode number that was, but it was about not being perfect.
Right.
Which neither of us is.
Nope.
Okay. So,
all right,
I kind of broke this down into parts so we could try and cover it. Because the transition from LDR to in-person is stages.
Right.
You know, it happens in stages. A lot of stuff does overlap. And just because it might be one of the happiest moments of your life, maybe, it might also be one of the scariest. And so we are not a universal truth for how this works. We're going to pull from our experiences.
Right.
Most of all. But it doesn't necessarily happen in a real like easy, oh, this happens first and then this happens second. But if you're planning the transition, and I, being the planner I am, always recommend planning it as much as you can. I'm not good with spontaneous.
No.
If you had said, you know what I'm going to do next weekend? I'll be up there. I'll just move into your townhouse. I'd have been like, excuse me, what? No, this is not how this works. I need forms in triplicate. I need a 6-month plan. I'm too anxious for all that spontaneity shit. Okay. Just doesn't work with me. Hi, why are you looking at me like that? And you know, the podcast listeners can't see you looking at me like that.
I know.
I almost said that y'all can't hear him looking at me like that, but maybe y'all can. I think your looks do have a sound. So we're going to start with what I think, when you can. I can understand there might be circumstances where this doesn't work. And we will likely talk about this as if you are moving in together, but I know that's not always the case. Sometimes you're just moving into the same town so that you're within driving distance of each other.
Yeah.
or for our listeners who have access to major transit, public transit, might be a train ride or a tube ride. I don't know. But something that makes it easy for you to get to. You might not be moving in. I don't doubt that there's still a major transition, even if you don't move in. But I do think that once you're living with each other, it does intensify things. So there's still a transition if you come to the, if you're in the same town maybe, or the same general area, and it's not state or continent difference. But then the next, if you ever get to the next step of moving in, then it's, that's just a, an in, more intense transition.
Right.
Okay. So we're talking primarily about moving in together, because I think that's the most common too.
Yes.
Okay. So to me, if you can, if life permits, the first step is to start planning. Yeah, you got to plan as best you can. In our case, I moved down to you.
To me.
So I quit my job. I packed up my children. I packed up our house.
Mm-hmm.
We drove south.
Yep.
Yep. And that could, because of all the pieces, parts to that, that could never have happened last minute. Not well, anyway.
No, not well.
It would never have gone. It didn't feel smooth. During the process, it felt a little bumpy, but it,
well, nothing's without some bumps,
but ultimately it worked out, I think, fairly well.
Yes.
So correct me if I'm wrong, 'cause I know you will. it's just how we roll. The last visit we had, so we moved into together the first week of June 2014.
Correct.
We talked, made the plan in February of 2014. So that, yeah, there you go. That's about, it's 4 months. 4 months? I can't do math. I think it's 4 months.
And I think the last time I came up to see you was March.
No, February. It was, I remember, because the way we did it, partly because of money, partly because of time and needing the time, like the time off you could get to do certain things.
Right.
We made the choice. We were fortunate enough. We visited every 6 to 8 weeks. Sometimes the longest we might go would be 3 months, maybe. But in February, we made the decision not to visit each other until you came up to where I live to help me pack.
To get you.
And to drive the U-Haul. That was really hard.
it was. And in part, that was because I had to, at that time, I was living with my sister. I was sharing a house with my sister. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't going to work.
No. And your life was in transition at that point. Your divorce had only really been final for a little bit.
Right.
You didn't yet have a place of your own. So that was... So we,
which in a way kind of worked out in our favor, because it allowed me to, look for something that was suitable for all of us.
Right, we got to start from scratch instead of trying to squeeze everybody into something that didn't work.
Remake something that
exactly. And I would imagine that that's going to be extremely unique to everybody. Sometimes one of you will have a place that works perfect, and sometimes neither of you will. And sometimes you're going to have to make it work with what you've got for a certain amount of time, maybe till a lease ends or until you can sell or whatever the situation is. We were fortunate in that, but I always felt both guilty and really relieved that the job of finding, because we did an apartment at first before we bought the condo we live in now. I was kind of relieved and yet kind of nervous and felt bad that you had to be the one to pick the apartment. And because here's the thing. I'm a control freak, with anxiety. Can you... Anybody out there who is a control freak with anxiety knows what I am talking about. I was letting somebody, not me, decide that a place was suitable for all four of us. Y'all know. Okay,
well, the way I handled that was I went to look at places, and when I was there, I would be snapping pictures.
I know you did. You were really good about it. You were very open about it all. I know. Yeah. Or my favorite was the one you walked into and went, "I walked in, I walked out. This will not work."
No. And that place was a hot mess.
In that instance, that worked because I trusted you. First of all, I could never have dropped my whole life and packed up my children to move in with you if I did not trust you. But I could also...
Well, I hope so.
Well, one would hope, right? Yeah. We have seen people move with less amount of trust. I'm just saying. And this will only make sense to my type A control freak, people with anxiety. The fact that I could trust you enough to make the judgment call that a place was suitable or it was not suitable was a real testament to my trust in you. Because there are many people in my life I love deeply. They're not allowed to make those decisions for me. Mm. But I was, and you know, you did it right. You didn't just make the decision. You didn't do that. This wasn't a moment to go all dumb. When I got anxious and freaked out, that was a moment to go all dumb.
Yeah.
But in choosing where we were both going to live, you never assumed you had all the right answers.
No.
We both agreed that if one of us had a bad feeling about a place, that was it. No. And we made that agreement from the very beginning. So if living situations are part of your transition and figuring out where to live, you're going to have to, in my opinion, you're going to have to set the standard of what works for you before you start looking. Because if you're fighting over this place has 1.5 bath and that place has 2 bath, that's a common enough fight, but that's going to add more stress to an already stressful process.
Correct.
So that was the agreement we made, was that if both of us weren't like, yeah, that's it, then we weren't doing it. And even then, so in that part of the planning process, we got a little nervous around April. We weren't sure we were going to find anything.
It was not
in our budget anyway.
Right. We had a budget we were trying to stick with.
Very small budget.
Very small budget at that point. And there were not many options at that time.
No.
When I was looking. And it was just by chance that I came across a place, an apartment.
I know, and this is where we both made the same mistake, but we made it together. So we had we were both feeling desperate. I wasn't even there and I was feeling desperate. I could hear it in your voice, you know, because if we couldn't see one another, by God, we were talking to one another multiple times a day. I remember many, many occasions being on the phone as I walked into the daycare to pick up the youngest. And you talking to me about the apartment you had just walked out of.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to sign a kid out and talk about the apartment. You know, it was just a little nuts.
Yes.
But we both went, oh, the price is right. The outside looks good. Yeah. The apartment they let you see looked fine.
Yeah.
And then we went online and read reviews, and the reviews were either loved it or hated it.
They were, yeah.
The hated it reviews were rabid. Like, those people hated it.
Right.
And by the time we left a year later, we hated it. We would have left a rabid review too.
And yet, you know, after seeing the place that I was shown, you know, the thing was too, I was concerned about them transitioning. So the place I found, the physical layout was almost exactly what you were living in at the moment.
Right, so it would be very familiar to the kids.
So it would be extremely familiar to the kids. And I was hoping that would make for a easier transition for everybody.
And yes, if anybody out there is possibly wondering, adding kids to the mix of this transition does make it more challenging.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it impossible necessarily. I was fortunate that my kids weren't unhappy. They were, God, this was 4 years ago. So they were 8 and 4, almost 9. So just old enough to start having an opinion I might not like. And then the baby was four. He was still like just happy to go wherever I went. It was fine. So we were fortunate. And I know that if you have older children or if you have children who are not fine with any of it, it is going to be more difficult. I do think as a parent, we have to make the best decisions that we think are the best decisions for our children.
Mm-hmm.
My personal parenting philosophy, and I have made many sacrifices for my children. My children don't rule my life either. And if they had protested this move, I might have handled it differently. I might have had maybe a different way of handling the transition. But in my mind, it was gonna happen. And we would have had to weather some of those things. Mm-hmm. Now, my mind can't even imagine worst case scenarios. There are situations where it's not possible. But if you are the parent thinking, oh, I'm going to upset them with this, that to me personally as a parent, because I don't tell anybody else how to raise their children, that would not be enough to have stopped me. It would have made me change the plan maybe a little bit.
Shift gears a little bit, for sure.
But my happiness, if I take care of me, I'm in a better position to take care of them. And as long as what I want to do does not put them in harm's way, does not damage them in some way,
right.
Then them being mad at me is not going to stop me. Just my personal mm-hmm. view. That's all I'm saying. But we were fortunate, though.
We were fortunate in a lot of ways because your friends and family were very supportive.
Right, and we got lucky with that, too, because I know that doesn't happen. Now, it does help that you and I had been together at that point for a little over a year, 15 months, since the actual relationship part had started, 18 months since we'd known each other. You had come to visit and had happily met my family and friends multiple times. They all knew you. They all felt comfortable with you. They thought I was a little weird for quitting the steady job that was paying me the most I'd ever made in my adult life. To quit, move, and go be a freelance writer with no money. They thought that was a little out there. I believe my stepdad tried to bribe me with a house in Mississippi. If you're going to move, move here. I'll build you a house.
Yeah.
The answer was no. There are a lot of reasons for that. This is not the episode for that. So that was also an easy thing. My friends and family were sorry to see me move further away.
Yeah.
But every one of them came out to help me pack the house.
Right.
And pack the truck.
Load the truck and clean.
And this is when I realized that all the people, the women, all of the women in my life who I am closest to, we all have some similar traits because thankfully we don't all have to be top dog in something. We know that we're strong women and that we get shit done. So we don't try and order people around. If you looked like you were standing still too long, we would tell you what to do.
Find something for you to do.
Yeah. Right. But I walked out of this townhome to like check the truck or something. And I came back in at one point and my coworker, my two best friends and my mom, each were either cleaning something or directing somebody to clean something. And I thought, yes, these are my people. They have taken charge. They're getting shit done. They know what needs to be done. I didn't have to tell nobody nothing. That was the best move of my life. But so we did have that too. And some people don't have a support system.
Right.
And we did. So on the packing up, we had my family. And on the unloading, fun as they can be, we had your family.
Yeah, they were all there.
Both sides were absolutely supportive.
Right.
They, of course, knew nothing about our dynamic. They didn't know he was my daddy and I was his baby girl. They just knew that we cared about each other. His family, I think mostly because you're a grown-ass man and it wasn't like you were in charge of grandbabies. Like in my family, it was, you're taking my grandchildren from me. I mean, there was that I had to deal with. So your family was more like, oh, here's this person. Okay. And my family is like, who is this person? Do you know what she married the first time? We have standards now. You know, like there's a little bit of that.
Thankfully, I met the standards.
Oh, you passed them. Oh my God. So we were fortunate that way. And if you're not certain how your family's going to react, it depends on how important that is to you. For some people, they've had to make peace with the fact that their family is never going to be happy with what they do. And some people, it's very important to them. And again, this to me would be on a similar but different level with kids. So with kids, you're trying to raise future good adults, you know, so you're considering, one would hope, your considerations are different. But when it's your family and you're an adult, you're a legal adult, it is so difficult to go against what your family wants you to do. It is so difficult to feel like you've disappointed them. And only you can make these decisions. But again, my personal view is that you have to live your life and do what's best for you. And sometimes it means you'll make a mistake. That is why, and my mother said it, she let me marry my first husband. She said, because if I had told you otherwise, I would have alienated you. I would have lost my relationship with you and you still would have married him. She said, by letting you do what you were gonna do and supporting you through it, I didn't kill the relationship and you figured it out. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you're gonna do things that your parents or your siblings or whoever don't want you to do. Are you a legal adult? And can you support yourself? Because I know that's also a consideration. Sometimes we live with a parent because we can't and then it gets weird. I'm not gonna pretend that's easy either. If you can wait until you're at a point where you're more self-sufficient, or if you're moving in together and together you're self-sufficient on your own and don't need that outside support, then I think you're in a, hopefully, a better situation. But sometimes we're just destined to disappoint the you know, our family members. Sometimes we just make our parents mad, you know. Sometimes our sister or our brother just doesn't fucking understand, and they might never, okay? And it's not about your kink. They might not have a clue what your kink is. They just see you packing up and, like, moving over 10 states.
Trundling off, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's not easy either, and that's going to make things harder too. The best advice, if I could give any, and I'm not even sure it's great advice, but it's the thing I know I would do. I don't know what else I would do, but I would do this. Lean on each other. You know,
you have to.
This happened long after our transition, but relations are not good with your side of the family. And so I said, I said to you from the moment we realized how bad it was, I said, that's okay. You can have my family. They love you. And they do.
Yeah. They've taken me under their wing.
Exactly. They treat him like one of their own. And thankfully we treat people well in our family. We're not toxic. So that
well,
might be another
family. You're either treated really well or you disappear in the woods one day.
Or we just smile accident. To your face and then, yeah. You know, yeah. Bless your heart a lot. But so hopefully that's an option. Lean on each other as best you can. Lean on your supportive friends who are sad to see you go, but helping you pack up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to create your family for yourself. Sometimes your genetic family, your biological family isn't the family that you need, isn't the family that's going to support you, and you have to mm-hmm. make it for yourself. And hopefully this transition you're making from your LDR DS to an in-person DS helps start that process for you, where you can have yeah. supportive people in your life lifting you up and helping you get better, and as opposed to pushing you down and telling you you're wrong for everything you do. So it was easier, I know, because I have a supportive family. I also know that if I had been wrong, if this had not worked out, my supportive family would have gone, come on back, we've got you,
yeah.
you're going to be fine. And I know that, to me, as a worrier, as a planner, if I knew my family wasn't supportive of my choice and nobody in my life was supportive of my choice, I would have to take extra time to think about whether this move was mm-hmm. good. But not because, oh, if your family doesn't like your partner, there's clearly something wrong. That is sometimes true. Let's be real. Sometimes that's very true.
That
everybody in your life. I was married to 9 years for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also if this does go south, not because they were lying to me all this time, but because we get together, we're living together 6 months in, and it's awful, and this won't work anymore. That does happen. That
right.
is something you have to consider. Do you have what you need to get out of that situation?
Yeah.
Whether it's income, so you can do it yourself, or somebody in your life who's going to be like, dude, I gotcha.
Yeah. Okay? I mean, what that did, it gave you peace of mind, and because you knew you had a safety net.
And sometimes you have to make your safety net for yourself. And
yeah.
I don't think you can never make a bold move if you don't have a safety net, but it is something you have to think about. You have to, in my mind, you have to know, well, what am I going to do? What are my options?
Right.
Because what you don't want to be is in a position, if you can help it, is in a position where you are reliant on this person you don't even like anymore, or you don't even trust anymore. And you feel like you can't get out of a bad relationship because you have no place else to go. So it can feel, and I say this as somebody who has trust issues. I trust you with my life. I've trusted you with my children's lives. But
true.
I would be lying if I didn't say right before that move and right after that move that I didn't have a contingency plan in the back of my head. Because you also
of course you
to,
did.
Of course I did. I had 10, okay? They were lettered. I almost put them in writing.
Just with bullet points.
Don't
right?
even mess
yeah.
with me. I got plans. But it's, you know, some people will feel like it's that it's bad luck, or that it means you don't have faith in your partner or what. No, you're being realistic that anything
yeah.
can happen. And I'm grateful I never had to use an exit strategy. But I'll give you a little clue. I still have a separate bank account that only has my name on
right.
it, just in case. Now, we're at a point now I really only did it because our income levels were so swapped. I'd been the
right.
breadwinner in my relationship since I was 20. Okay. I had never made less than a partner ever. So that was weird for me. And I needed to know that if something happened financially, I wasn't so intertwined that I couldn't extricate myself easily.
Right.
I didn't hide money. I didn't create like a full exit plan. I know some people do that, but in my head, I knew what my options were. And until I was truly comfortable, I kept those options open. It's just being realistic because ask anybody who's certainly ever been through a divorce or a really bad breakup after a long-term relationship, even if you weren't married, you have proof right there that some things aren't forever and that anything can fucking happen.
Anything can happen.
So as you're planning this transition, keep that in mind. Okay, so you've planned.
Right.
You've executed the plan. It will never go exactly like the plan on paper. And now you have, in whatever method, ours was looking like the Beverly Hillbillies with a U-Haul. Okay.
That's right.
Trundling 440 miles. Did we do the interstate or did we take back roads?
No, we took the interstate at that time.
That's right. We did. We didn't know better yet.
Nope. We hadn't discovered the back way.
No. So we get there.
Right.
And for me personally, that first day was completely surreal because we pull up and there's your family. So there are people I don't know. And I'm like, oh, wow, his family looks exactly like him. And I mean, his mom, his sister. Like, you can tell the family resemblance. And unpacking is always easier. Then packing, of course. Yeah. So that took no time at all.
Mm-hmm.
The townhome was a wreck. The one thing, and I will, if for the parents out there or the parents of fur babies, if you have family or friends who can watch your kids or your fur babies for a couple of weeks, a month, a summer, a whatever, while you move, if you can do it, I recommend it. Because the first 2 weeks, we had no kids. So it was all about adjusting to each other and unpacking the house and not having the chaos of kids going, I'm bored. I don't know anybody. What's going on? When's the Wi-Fi getting turned off? Like, whatever, right? Yeah. Like, ugh. So we were fortunate. You moved into the apartment, a month before we got there?
Correct.
Right. So certain things
were already set up.
Thank
at that
God.
Point. Yeah.
But not having the kids underfoot was helpful.
It made it easier, yes.
Because the reality of a transition isn't just, well, where does my stuff go in relationship to your stuff?
Mm-hmm.
It's, holy shit, we've been doing DS over the phone or over text message, and now I'm looking at you.
Now we've got a whole different reality.
Right. And as anybody in an LDR knows, the vast majority of your visits are like so kinky and so sexual because you have to fit in months of missed opportunities into like 3 days or a week or a month or whatever amount of time you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And so like every moment is as kinky and as sexual and as like charged as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And then you move in together. And then it's not like that necessarily.
Well,
and it's weird.
And to a certain extent, it was.
It was at first.
Because there was a definite...
it was an excitement.
It was an excitement. There was a rekindling of new relationship energy.
Yes.
Because now, here we were. We ate at the same table every night. We went to bed together every night.
I know.
And we knew that... You know, one wasn't going to be hopping on a plane or in a car to go somewhere
else. Best feeling. So
it was a good feeling.
Knowing that this didn't have an expiration date. Like, I didn't have to pack all of the experiences and memories and moments and all the times of feeling submissive.
Into a limited amount of time.
Right. That part was gone. And at first, for me, it was a little surreal because that's what we were used to. That's how we did this.
That's how we did it for 18 months. Yeah.
But that excitement does occur. And I do think that if you've been out of new relationship energy for a while or... If it really spikes for you every time you get to see one another when you're in an LDR, but it's exciting, but it's not like that breathless, oh my God, what's going to happen next kind of exciting, like new relationship energy usually is. We definitely did have that, which was fun and exciting, but this was before we understood that I have generalized anxiety.
Right.
I had panic attacks, and we actually, for the 2 weeks... that we had no children when we should have been doing all the kinky fuckery.
We had to step back from the DS.
I had to ask for the DS to be put on hold in order to adjust to just sharing my space with another human being again. I mean, yeah, I'd mm-hmm. sharing my space with kids, but they weren't sleeping in my bed. So there is that sort of dance between people who live together of when do you go to the bathroom or when do you take a shower?
Right.
What side of the bed do you sleep on? And where is your stuff in the dresser as opposed to my stuff right. in the dresser?
And
it was anxiety.
There was a lot of anxiety producing. For you. And then there was the fact because we had been LDR for the 18 months, a lot, if not most of what we did
didn't work
as DS now no longer worked.
It didn't make any sense.
It made no sense.
Why would he send me a text of what panties to wear when he was standing right there next to the dresser drawer?
Right. Why would I stop on my way to work or call her
on
my way to work?
Don't call me at 5 a.m. if you're laying in the bed next to me at 4. Are you kidding me? Which I have to say, as much as I loved our early morning calls, like those are some of the most intimate moments we sort of had
yeah.
when we were LDR.
It
felt so good not to be woken up early for a phone call.
Well, for her, it was
an hour earlier.
It was an hour earlier because of we were in different times.
Right. It was your 6 a.m., my 5 a.m.
Right.
Which did work out. By the time he was done making me masturbate and come all over the place and make my sheets soaked, then it was time to get up and start my day and take a shower and get the kids ready and all that stuff. So it did work. We had made it work through the LDR.
Correct.
So I'm not saying every LDR relationship that transitions that one of you is going to freak out, panic, and just not be able to handle it. But I am, I guess, maybe giving you permission for whichever one of you, dominant or sub, it does mm-hmm. not matter, to say to the other one, I need time to adjust
right.
before we get hot and heavy into this stuff.
Yeah.
I think
there has to be an adjustment period.
Exactly. And I think you need to, and I speak mostly to the submissives out there because I know how most of y'all are. I need you to not panic when this happens. This transition of getting, just adjusting to one another takes as long as it takes.
Right.
I mean, by the time we got, and it was funny. So you were still daddy because I needed you to be daddy, not dom. I mean, that's
true.
That's what I need.
Yeah,
I needed my daddy to take care of me, not my dominant.
You needed a caregiver at that time.
Right. I needed daddy to take care of me, not my dominant. Tell me what the hell to do. That worked. That works in our dynamic. Your dynamic is going to be something different. But that didn't stop us from making plans. We talked about what the rules would be, what the tasks would be.
Yes.
You made up a list of things you wanted.
Correct.
You and I discussed them. I think we were fortunate that I didn't go, no, I'm not doing that to anything.
No,
but
I know. No.
But I know we tweaked things. You know, like, oh, you're going to do this. And I was like, can I do it like that? And, you know, and that's mm-hmm. how negotiations go. That's how you communicate with one another. So by the time I was like, okay, I'm ready. I can do this. I'm missing it. That to me is always the
key,
the test of when am I ready to get back into something? I'm missing the fuck out of it. It's like, we got to do this shit now.
There you go.
It did kind of, the irony was that, of course, I was ready for it once the children came home. And we'd lost all opportunity for...
Go figure.
I know, it was so wrong.
Go figure.
So to recap the initial move in, you'll probably have some new relationship energy-like emotions where you'll be very excited. You may feel overwhelmed, whether it's because you're up close and in person and it's maybe been over the phone or over Skype or mm-hmm. over text for however long.
Well, there's a lot of emotions going on and something like that. I mean, you're up here, you know... Both people, your lives that you have known it for however long are now changing. You're going to be with another person.
You've got to adjust to each other.
Sure.
And you've got to give yourself the time and freedom to adjust mm-hmm. to each other. It does not mean the whole thing's a failure if you've got to take a break or slow down or kind of put a lid on mm-hmm. the DS. Some people don't need that. Some people, they come together, they're in the same space, and poof, everything's fine for them.
Yeah.
If that happens for you, great. I'm very happy for you. I just don't want anybody who doesn't have that happen to think that they did something wrong. And depending on your living situations before, in my case, I'd been a single adult at that point for over a year.
Right.
He'd been gone for 2.5 years at that point. I hadn't had another adult in the house. I had a lot more freedom that I had never had. The first time I moved out on my own, I was not on my own. I was with my then fiance who was about to be my husband. So I had had this freedom, and now there was this adjustment when I was like, oh, no, there's another person. Oh, but this is another person I like. So that helps. But you still have to adjust. And it's small right. things and it's big things. And that's normal, too. Now, how long that'll last? For us, it was 2 weeks. For somebody else, right. it's going to be however long it
varies
is.
Person to person. Mm-hmm. Your mileage may vary.
Exactly. And, you know, if you do or don't have support from family, if your kid, right. if you have kids and they're pissed off as hell, all of those things are going to factor in. Okay. They yeah. just are. The other thing, there's two things. One is specifically for parents. And again, I'm not going to tell anybody how to raise their children because I don't want anybody to tell me how to raise my children. But something that we found that worked because he was coming in as an authority figure. First of all, I labeled him the authority figure. I was going to let him be with my kids long before we ever moved in together.
That's true. You did.
Once I decided that he was safe to even have around my children, that was not the first. The first visit, they weren't even in the state all. He was. They were two states over, and he came to see me for a week. And then I went, yes, you can meet my children. This is something real. This, I'll let you meet my kids. First time they met my kids, I said, he's Mr. John. When Mr. John tells you to do something, you do it as if I told you to do something. And then I caught some smirk on the oldest face. I said, you actually do what you're told to do. No loopholes here.
Right.
But that set the tone so that when we moved in correct. Together, they had their own adjustment too. And mm-hmm. I think you have, that's something separate from your DS. But being a parent and being DS can be a little bit like standing on a balance beam sometimes, especially true. I think from a submissive perspective, because you're submissive to this one person over here, but to this other person, you have to be large and in charge and take no shit from anybody. And it can be kind of weird when you're having to go back and forth. So we made the decision early on that we would always be a united front. Right. If I disagreed with something he did or said, as long as it wasn't life-threatening to my children, mm-hmm. we would talk about it in private.
Right, and vice versa.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
And I think because I never demanded that my children love him or like him. They had to come to that on their own because he is good with kids in general, but really good with my kids. And because I set him up as an authority figure from the beginning, he wasn't just this friend of mom's. It was like, no, he speaks, you listen. This is how this works. Because I trusted him. I would never have given him that authority if I didn't trust him. I would never have let him meet my children if I didn't trust him. That helped with that initial transition. It was weird for them. They didn't quite know what to do. The youngest one, how many years did he only come to me? I mean, he's almost 9, and sometimes we still have to go, dude, go talk to Mr. John. I cannot help you right now. So transitions will take as long as they take. But if you're moving with kids, that's a secondary transition you have to deal with. And other people with kids will have slightly different experiences than I had because it's about who your kids are. But my whole point to that
the other thing, too, that worked out for us, the way we planned it was when I moved her down here, school was out.
Oh, yeah, we did that in the summer.
Ooh, did that over the summer. They were out of school, so they did not have to deal with the transition of both moving and starting into a new school immediately.
And I think we even got lucky that they met. We were in a huge apartment complex of townhomes, and I think they met a few kids before they started school.
They met some kids so before they go to school because we
got lucky there too.
We got lucky there too. Plus, we were right by the pool, so when we were by the pool, they saw, you know, there were other kids there.
Right.
So,
that is, I think if I could. So first of all, your children have their own transition if you have kids, if you're a parent and you're going through this. So honor that and deal with that in whatever way is best for you guys. Just don't freak out when it happens. It's pretty much the only thing I'm trying to say. But the other, that goes back to planning. Like I said, sometimes some weird shit happens in life and you don't always have the option to plan. But if you do, even though... For those of you who might be a little tad impatient, I don't know anything about that.
No, what do you know about being impatient?
Nothing. Hey, stop that. The more you can plan it out so that you can, the things you can control, you know, that you could potentially control are in your control. The timing, the notice you give. I gave my job 2 months notice and they wished they had had 3. That was a toxic situation one day, and not in a BDSM context. I'll talk about that. We transitioned slowly, right. And we did that on purpose to attempt to reduce as much stress as we could, because it's right. a stressful process. I don't care how excited you are for it. It's still stressful.
Yeah.
And the more things that you can do.
I mean, for us with her, transitioning slowly worked. I mean, backing away from the DS that we had during the LDR, she would not have been able to handle it. We had to back out. Now, and that's not to say it has to be that way for everybody.
No.
Somebody else, completely different, they may want and need
you that, might need more control.
Need more control, need that structure.
Absolutely.
Okay, you know, mm-hmm. everybody is different.
But what you have to... both sides of the slash here have to be willing to do is to communicate about those needs.
Right.
You cannot walk into this, we now live in the same property together and we just moved in and we still got boxes stacked up, and think that you were supposed to have the exact same feelings you had a week before when you were having to do everything over the phone or mm-hmm. through the internet or whatever, okay?
Right.
It's a different scenario completely. Yes, it's the same people, but you've just, on some level, completely uprooted your life.
It's a life change.
It is
a
life change.
It's a life event.
Exactly. And you both, neither of you should feel somehow weak or broken or wrong because you're not immediately jumping through hoops excited and, you know, ready to get down with your kinky fuckery and everything right. is perfect. Just like if you've ever started a new job, started a new school,
mm-hmm.
bought a new house, nothing quite fits right because you had old patterns and old behaviors and old methods and old things you did maybe for years in this old life.
All
and
of
now
a sudden,
you're starting,
there's another toothbrush next to mine.
Right. Or every time I go to, and this, I think, this doesn't happen anymore, but I do remember in that first year, I would go to grab for something or put something down where I always put it down, and there was something else there that wasn't mine.
Right.
It never bothered me, but I had to acknowledge
different. You had to adjust because you were not programmed, but... You had the familiarity. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bleh, of doing something a certain way, and that shifted.
Exactly. And that, for some people, they embrace that. They love that shit. Change everything. Yeah. I don't understand y'all, but I love you. It's okay. I don't have to understand you. And then there are people like me who go, oh my God, change? What are you talking about? Actually, I'm better than I used to be. I'm in the middle. If I am prepared for the change, meaning I know it's coming.
You know there's a change
and
on
I'm
the horizon.
Choosing the change. It's something I want. Then right. even when it throws me off, I can kind of roll with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Unexpected change that I didn't pick and that shit's too spontaneous. Oh, I don't handle it.
But
though.
See, again, that works with you because of your anxiety.
Right, exactly. So, and my perfectionism and my need to know, my planning and all of that stuff.
All of that.
All the stuff that makes me delightful. I'm delightful to be attached to and married to. You can stop making that face over there. I know you're making a face.
I love you, baby girl. I love you.
I'm glad somebody does. So we'll recap where we're at just to make sure we're not missing any key ideas.
Right.
So when you can, as much as you can, even if it frustrates the impatient side of you, plan this move and this transition as much as you can.
Yes.
It hurt. It was a physical pain to not see him for 4 months. We were normally ending one visit, planning the next, because that's how we got through, because that way... he'd have to leave,
mm-hmm.
But I could immediately start the next countdown. And that worked for us. And I suggest that to people in LDRs all the time. If you have that luxury of being able to do that,
then do it.
And I did have a countdown. I knew when school let out, but that was longer than
longer than we had ever been.
So that was hard. And so for some of you, it might be longer. And some of you will absolutely recognize the need to not do the visit to save the money, because the long-term gain from that is worth it. To skip one visit that costs several hundred dollars between either the car rental or the plane, depending on what you did, mm-hmm. and the eating out, and the this, and the that. It costs money if you're going to visit each other in LDR, even if you are like doing it on the cheap. You're still spending money.
I was getting a new apartment, a new place for us to live.
Yep.
Deposits, turning on electricity, water tray, you know, all that stuff. That good stuff.
So it might be a long transition and you might miss one another. Just remember your goal at the end. It was probably April definitely happened in May, but probably in April, because that's when you were really, you were looking for apartments because you had it by May.
Right.
And I would just cry. I'd say, I miss you so much. I hate this. And then, of course, because I have a panicky mind, it was like, whenever he was having problems finding an apartment, I was like, is this a sign? Is this a sign?
Yes.
We're not, this isn't meant to happen.
I forgot about that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So expect that. That, I think that's normal too.
Right.
But plan as much as you can. And then, be prepared when you do make the,
you have to be willing when, after it happens, you have to be willing to adjust.
Both of you. I don't care if you're the Dom, you adjust too.
Right.
It's just how it works.
You know, like in our case, because of, at that time, we didn't know it was her anxiety, but the way things happened, we had to step back from the DS. You know, you may have to do that.
It was a relief, quite frankly.
It was for you.
Oh my God,
it was such
a relief.
Once I said, you know, okay, we will back off this for a while, and you know,
it, you know, it's funny. It would not be a relief to me now, but at the time,
no,
it was a relief.
At the time, it was definitely. So you know, you need to kind of feel it out whether you need to back off, whether you know more structure is needed. But it's an individual thing. But you need to be aware of those possibilities.
And yeah, and the one thing, if we, knowing what we know now, having gone through it, I think we talked a lot during that planning period because we were constantly sort of checking off goals,
right,
and benchmarks on the list. But I think if we had known better, we would have talked about it sooner and done more of the, you can't know how you're going to react till it happens, but you can still play the what if game, you know, and talk about being nervous and excited and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And so as much as you can talk about it ahead of time,
again,
it's a what if game because you don't know till you're there. But it, especially if you're an anxious person, it can help calm you a little bit because when you, I know from my perspective, if I'm confronted with the thing that was a what if, I am less anxious about it because for me, I've had the what if moment and then my brain immediately went, what if this, then that. And so I kind of know, oh, this is how I'm supposed to react because I've already decided that's how I'm going to react. So that can kind of help if one of you is anxious. If both of you are anxious, I'm just telling you, hold hands and breathe and get through it. And you will, because you will eventually adjust to one another.
Yes.
If you have a strong support system with your family, or your friends, lean on that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let them love you and tell you how much they're going to miss you, and then let them help pack you up and get you to wherever you're going.
Right.
If you don't, it's going to be harder. I know it's going to be harder.
Right.
I really do think, I think this is just a good life thing. If every single human being in your life hates the person you're trying to be with, that's not something to completely ignore. You still have to do what feels right to you, and sometimes all those people really are wrong. But not usually. So some people aren't going to understand it. Sometimes it's your own mom. She's going to try and tell you she'll never speak to you again. Only you can make a decision about stuff like that.
Right.
But you can't live your life to make other people who don't have to live it happy. You know?
True.
Once you're a legal adult, you can make your own way. And don't necessarily need financial support. That's a big thing. That's a big factor.
If mom
and dad or this person or that person are still supporting you financially because you can't do it on your own, those are hard decisions. But if you have the support of family and friends, lean on it because it'll make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
We were standing in the parking lot of townhome where I was sobbing. I'm hugging this person, crying, hugging this person. And I was fortunate that they all said, we hate that you're leaving, but we are so happy for you. And that made a difference. That made a huge, it made it easier. Because I never had to question, oh my God, am I doing the wrong thing? People who loved me and knew me were sending me on my way. So if you've got that, if you're that fortunate, use that to your advantage, okay? Yes, once you're together, if you have children, they have their own transition. So just be mindful of that.
Right.
Don't try and rush that. If you try and force that or rush that, whoo, I could see you easily setting that back. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can foster a positive environment. I think you can try and find some common ground but kids have to adjust on their own way, on their own time.
And, be aware and ready for the new relationship energy.
Yes.
Or the resurfacing of it.
Resurfacing. Then maybe there's another term for it. Somebody who's smarter than us, tell me if there's another term. And on one level, it's kind of exciting to have that feeling again. Because new energy, new relationship energy does feel really freaking good.
Yeah.
It's right up there with if you have sub-frenzy in a positive way. Like, sometimes you have sub-frenzy, it's because you're with somebody dangerous and, oh, that's scary. But sometimes you're just frenzied because it's so exciting and you've got this great person and, oh, it's right. wonderful. It feels good, but it can sometimes have you missing things that you need to be cognizant of. Or it can have you questioning things, because the moment things stop feeling good, you start going, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Is something bad? Mm-hmm. And no, it's just you're coming down from a high and you're settling into regular life. And yeah, whatever works best for your personality, either lean into your DS or pull back temporarily
if you need to.
Right. If you need to. I will say absolutely most, maybe all, depends on how you set your DS up long distance, but most of the things you do don't translate in person.
No.
If everything you did was by phone or by email
or text,
or if there was an hours long difference between the two, it condenses things. Right. I still to this day communicate better with him through email and writing than I do in any other way. And that is after years of podcasting where I can just speak like off the cuff.
Yeah.
All the time. I still am better as a writer than I am speaking to him on the hard stuff. It was funny because certain things are very important in our LDR. So picking my panties every day.
Right.
So we didn't really adjust well for this because, again, he was standing right there and it was a ritual. It was a specific ritual based on how your life was at that time and how my life was. And so what ended up happening is I think I went a year and I just didn't even wear a pair of panties.
Nope.
He never picked them. And so I never wore them. It wasn't even a, it wasn't even a task thing. You're never going to wear panties. It was, oh, you're not picking them. I'm not wearing them. Okay. And I think at one point, literally like a year in, I went, do you know I haven't worn panties in a year? Could I wear some panties? So no, some things don't translate well. I have talked to other people who had a similar experience. So in some LDRs, depending on how y'all work, your dominant might guide your masturbation. It's how you can have like a sexual moment together over the phone or Skype or however you do it. And I didn't masturbate for over a year because you weren't calling me on the phone to guide it. So it for us, it was more of a dropping away of things. Because the way we did them no longer worked, but the outcome was still something we liked. You know, I liked having him pick my panties. I liked, you know, having him tell me how to touch myself. So we had to, once we realized what had happened, we kind of went, okay, how is this going to work now? You know, if we want the outcome to be this sexy thing or the, how can we make it happen in a way that fits and makes sense? Because we live together now. And for the panties thing, unless he decides on a day, and that's very rare, that he wants me to wear them. If I need panties, like this is Florida and boob sweat is not the only thing that sweats around here. I have got
everything sweats.
But crotch sweat is real.
Yeah.
And I have some pants that cannot handle even a drop of moisture.
Yeah.
So if I know I'm wearing them in the Florida heat, I have to go ask, hey, can I have panties? I don't make that decision unilaterally. I have called him. I have hopped out of you were walking in the door the other day. Your phone rang because I didn't know where he was, but I knew he wasn't at home. And I'm like, we have a panty situation here. And then when I realized he was home, I went by. I hung up. I'm still naked. The boys are up. So I have to be very careful.
I was trying to play it off. I was trying to come in the door quietly and be on the phone.
I heard the door open. I'm too anxious to not hear a door. So I opened our bedroom door just a crack so that in case one of the boys was out there, they wouldn't see that I was buck ass naked. And I'm like, I need you. I need you now. And he's like, what? And I'm like, we have a panty situation. So I still don't wear panties unless he tells me to, but now sometimes I have to ask for them. I can't wait for him. If I sit around waiting for something, it might not happen because our lives are different now. And the day-to-day of living in your DS relationship is different from LDR.
Correct. But see, the way you do it, because of the way our relationship is structured, you don't come to me and say, I've got to have panties today.
Oh, God, no. No, I would not do that. That is not the right way to do that.
No. You come to me, Daddy, could you please pick me out a pair of panties?
And anybody who's lived together for any amount of time and communicated the same way any amount of time knows you get shorthand at some point. So I always use the same tone. It's always asking, never demanding. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I just go, "I'm wearing those pants," and he's like, "I got it. I know."
What yeah. You mean. Well, there is. Yeah. So I yeah. Do.
And that, you know, that's the strange beauty of the transition that you can't predict. It's that the structure you have as LDR fits LDR. You find mm-hmm. the methods and the ways and the means.
And the things that work for you.
To yeah. let you feel connected on some level. And then when you're together, I have found with us that we go through cycles. We've done many episodes on, you know, when you start to feel too vanilla or when things, mm-hmm. you know, we've done those episodes multiple times. Why? Because it happens to us all the fucking time, okay? And if it's happened to you, you're not alone. But the day-to-day living together creates these opportunities that would never work in LDR and
right.
wouldn't even make sense, I think, until you've then lived together long term. Till you've hit this point where you know each other's movements so well you can predict them. Mm-hmm. I know what he's going to do from the moment he wakes up now. I know when he's making that first cup of coffee. I know his yep. rhythm and pattern when we're getting ready for bed. I know his work pattern. Like if I see him sitting at his desk doing a specific thing now, I know exactly what that means. And what if I see solitaire on the screen, he is unwinding from something. Also, I'm gonna out you here.
Uh-oh.
If I hear nothing from him and I see a very focused look on his face and his hand starts gesturing forcefully, oh my God. I know he's having a conversation in his head. That is yes. not weird to me because I have conversations in my head all the time. All the time. Mm-hmm. So.
It's how I work through things.
It's how I work through them too. I just remember to keep my hands down. So
well, it's Italian in me, you know, I gotta go with the hands, okay?
But I do. I now go, who are you talking to in your head? Who has pissed you off? But we know, those are such small things that are yeah. unique to us. But the fact that they happen only really start happening after you get through that resurgence of the new relationship energy,
right.
the transition and getting used to one another, the weird feelings of this isn't like the DS I've had before, you know, mm-hmm. like there's all these emotions you have to go through and every one of them are normal. And they all deserve communicate. You have to talk about them.
Oh,
you
yeah.
I love all of y'all out there. Y'all know I love you so much. I've gotten sort of a rash of messages okay. lately of, well, I keep thinking about, or I wish my partner knew, or this is the thing I'm worried about. Mm. And when I go, have you told your partner?
Oh, you know, like I tell her sometimes after.
Gotta
you know,
talk to each other.
You gotta talk to each other. I applied to work for the psychic hotline. They didn't take me.
And if you were a real psychic, you would have known that.
That's true. See? There, speaks for itself. So, you know, yes, you. After you've been together for a certain time, there are tells, like the finger for the conversation.
That's awesome. I love that.
You know,
that.
You learn certain tells about the other person. You know, different signals about what is going on with them. But you are never going to be 100% mind reader.
No, you have to talk to each other. You have to
right.
talk to each other in the planning. You have to talk to each other when you're transitioning and you're moving in and you're unpacking boxes and whatever else you're doing. And then you have to keep up that conversation and keep talking to one another
right.
for the rest of the time you're yeah. together, forever and ever, amen.
Just like with the DS, transitioning from LDR to being together. Yeah, you're going to have to rework it. You're going to have to reshape it. And even after you do that, there still will be some fine tuning. There still will be
Absolutely.
Some tweaking that you have to do.
Because what looks good on a list on paper is completely different than what works
in
actual life.
In...
So in that 2-week break we had where I was like, I cannot do the DS. I need time.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about change.
And I'm sitting there and
I remember him sitting in the bed at one point.
I'm
he's got
writing.
A list.
Yep.
And we talked about it. And he was good. He said this. He reassured me because it wouldn't have occurred to me to even ask at the time. He said, once we try these, then we'll know what works and what doesn't, and we will tweak as we go.
Right.
And that is exactly what we did. If
mm-hmm.
he had one task in mind of a thing I would do, and I would go to do it, and it didn't feel, like it was jarring and it didn't feel quite right, then we would go, I would say, can I do it this way instead of that? Yes.
Right.
Right. You can start talking about the what will change from your tasks, your rules, your what, however your relationship is structured. You can start talking about those things before you ever even fully move in together while you're in that planning stage.
Oh, yeah.
But nothing, you don't know what works and what doesn't until you're in the situation. So then at that point, you need to be both of you, Dom too. Hello, Mr. or Ms. or whatever, Dom.
Big D.
You need to be very open to the fact that some things aren't going to work just because you thought them up, right, and they sound great and they're things you want and you put them on paper. The reality is almost always different, and it doesn't mean you can't have what you want. It means you're going to have to be willing to adjust.
You have to be willing to shift and change.
Right. And submissives, you have to be willing to say, I'm trying to do this thing that I agreed to do that you want me to do. It's not mm-hmm. working this way. And if you have an idea for how you can make it work and it work mm-hmm. better for you, speak up.
Right. Because there is going to be an adjustment period. Mm-hmm. Take the DS out of the mix. You're still two people that are coming from two different lives trying to mix into one life now. So there is going to have to be some give and take and some adjustment, especially to work in the DS.
This is one of those times, it's not the only time, but it is one of those times where, you know how we typically say, this advice works whether you're kinky or vanilla, and much of what we said really does work whether you're kinky or vanilla. Yeah. But this is one of those times in a DS relationship where certain elements of it are very unique to DS, because there is a power exchange that you have to factor in. And sometimes factoring it in means you turn it off for a few minutes. And like I said, mm-hmm. I wasn't doing the submissive tasks, but that's not what makes me submissive. I was still his baby girl. I was still his submissive.
Right.
I just wasn't following a regimented list of things to do.
She didn't have a set of protocols.
No, I think I still asked your opinion and for permission.
Yes, you did.
But not even because you told me I had to ask for permission for things, because sometimes it's funny to me. Sometimes you don't tell me that I have to ask for permission for something, but when I think of the question, it only feels right that's how I do it, mm-hmm. because I know what works for us.
Right.
And so he was still daddy and I was still deferred to him, and the kinky fun that we could fit in, because we had no AC for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Too. No kids. Perfect. But I'm a stressed out mess and our
and
air
no
conditioner.
AC.
And we're still here today is
wonderful.
What I'm telling
you. We survived it. So
everybody's path is different.
Right.
I think the most you can do, the best you can do is to prepare as best you can, and then realize you're gonna have to be as flexible as possible. And I know y'all know me, some of y'all, that is very hard to do. It is hard to be mm-hmm. flexible, and I get that too. Lean on each other, talk to each other. If you set up a daily thing, if you maybe it's a weekly, whatever works for you as you're transitioning, talk. Oh, and the other thing I would say, because we did do this for probably the first year,
mm-hmm.
anybody who's LDR has found some method of communication that just works really well. For us, it was always email. We never Skyped. I never FaceTimed you. We didn't do any of that. But we talked on the phone, we texted, and we emailed all day long. For me, that transition for communication lasted probably the first year. When I really needed to tell him something that was hard,
It was an email. Yeah.
Or I did once handwrite a letter.
Yeah.
And I hate handwriting anymore, but I did it. So when you are in that transition period and you need to communicate, if you are finding the face-to-face thing too difficult, and if it's going to prevent you from saying what you need to say and communicating fully with one another, go back to whatever method works best for you. And I don't care if that's text message. And I don't even care if it's Skype, y'all. The point is to get mm-hmm. the communication done.
Right.
The point is to say what you need to say so you can work through it together. Who the fuck cares what your method is? Smoke signals for all I care.
As long as you're comfortable with the method and it works for you, that's all
exactly.
that matters.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
Lean on the things that worked in your LDR as you transition.
Right.
I can hear people now going, oh, we texted when we were LDR, but we're face-to-face now. I can't do that anymore. Yes, the fuck you can. As long as the other person's willing to read your text, yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
If that's what worked, use what works. And maybe you'll be like us, like literally a year, y'all, before I didn't have to write it anymore. I could just say, something ain't right, and can we talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
It might take you a year. It might take you longer. It might take you 5 minutes and you're like, oh, I can do this. This is fine.
Right.
But don't be afraid to use what worked in LDR. LDR is very different from in-person, and we all know that.
Yeah.
But you're not from a totally different planet.
No.
When you were on LDR, things still work.
The LDR laid the foundation.
Exactly.
Obviously there's something there. There's some kind of firm base that has brought you together.
In order for you to survive LDR for however long you did and be to the point where you're like, I'm going to transition this and we're going to move in together, or we're going to at least live in the same town or whatever, you have to have laid potentially a very strong base.
Yeah.
I am not personally, this is a personal opinion, take it as you will, I am not going to be really confident in an LDR that you met 6 weeks ago. I'm not. You're gonna do whatever works for your life, and just like my mother who let me marry an idiot, I'm gonna support you. And if it doesn't work, I'm gonna be here for you. Okay, I'm not gonna tell you I told you so. I'm not gonna do that bullshit. But if you are asking my opinion, should I move in with this person? One of my first questions is gonna be how long you been together, because in a short amount of time, it's very difficult to go through all of the ups and downs,
right,
so that you know who that person is. Now, that being said, I do know somebody who did it very quickly. Quicker than I think they actually wanted to, but that's how their life worked out. And they're doing very well, and it worked for them. So I'm not saying you can't or you shouldn't. You know your life.
It can happen.
Yes. It can happen, and we do know somebody that happened for them, and it worked for them. But had that person come to me for advice, I would have been the one cautioning against it. I'd have been like, are there any other options?
That's kind of quick.
That's one, the problem with advice, because nobody is ever 100% right.
Right.
And two, that's also the problem with getting advice from a cautious person, because we will tell you to slow down and wait. But if you are in that position, that's what I'm going to tell you to do. I'm going to tell you to wait a little bit longer if you have the choice of waiting a little bit longer. Because I think it does help to see ups and downs and ins and outs. And how do they handle pressure? And how do they handle a bad mood? And how do they handle it when you're in a bad mood? And how do they handle tragedy in their life? And how do they handle tragedy in your life? How do they handle the good and the bad? And if I get a good sense and I feel comfortable and I maintain trust in another person, hundreds of miles distance apart, and we can make it work, and we can still communicate openly, and we can still have intimate moments, even if it's over a phone or through a text message, and we can still connect and communicate when we're not in the same room, then it'll be fucked up and it'll be weird when we are in the same room, but I believe we can do it when we're in the same room.
Right.
And that's how I look at it. Again, take that with a grain of salt. I'm a planner, a worrier, and I have anxiety. I'm going to tell everybody to wait. That's always my advice.
Yep.
So we had a lot more to say about that than I thought
we did. Yeah, we did.
I hope this helped. If you are transitioning, if you are the person who messaged me on Instagram, thank you, by the way, and this still left some questions, feel free to reach out. If we get enough questions and realize we missed a whole subsection, we'll come back and
do it again.
Because of all the things I feel like I can speak confidently about, LDR is one of them. That is, you know,
true.
Every LDR couple's experience is different, but I think there's some universal lessons you can learn from it. So yeah, if you have questions, if you have encountered things and you're like, what? Feel free to reach out to either of us. We're happy to answer questions if we can. I have been taking longer to answer questions. I have to have the mental energy to do it. Sorry, y'all. But we will do a bonus section.
Yep.
We got mail, and we got the coolest mail.
Yes.
We got so much cool mail. I'm so excited.
Yes,
so if you want to hang around for that, you can. Mm-hmm. If you are on YouTube, you will actually get to see it. So if you're listening to the audio, I would just say go find us on YouTube and like skip ahead to like minute 120 or whatever, and you'll get to see it too. So there we go.
There you go.
That's my
all right.
PSA.
So
PSA.
Let's end.
Ah, damn it.
I know.
Okay. Okay, we can do that.
Baby girl.
I know. We need
baby girl. Come on now.
Okay. Move. Podcast listeners don't know that you just pulled my hair, but
know,
YouTube
but
watchers do. Okay, there's your other incentive to come watch the video. Okay, we're good. Yeah, we're good.
We're good?
Vaguely.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week. Okay, Daddy.
Yes, baby girl.
I can't wait too long because people are watching us.
I know that.
And
go ahead.
Thank you. And they're watching you write it down. So, okay.
I know. They're writing, watching me write my numbers.
So we got two awesome pieces of
mail.
And they're awesome for different reasons. So I'm going to start with a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
And it is from, he signed it Reaper, but on FetLife, he's Life Reaper. I went and looked because y'all know how awful I am. And I don't give proper credit. So I'm showing this to the camera and hoping the glare... It is a wolf.
There you go. Yes.
From the postcard's from Washington. Reaper is on, well, probably not, maybe not now as we're recording, but when he sent this, he was on his way driving to go see his baby girl who he has not seen in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, he told me on FetLife, he was like, I will send you postcards from my travels.
And
I recognize postcards are harder to come by. So even if this is my only one,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm sorry, our only one. That's right. You're here
I'm
too.
I'm glad you remember I'm here. Okay.
Then we, you know, even if this is the only one, I am going to be happy that I got this one because that's very cool. It's a 1,500-mile trip. So, and he's going to see his baby girl, and I am so very happy for you both, Reaper.
Right.
So, yes, the I'm going to try and do this in the camera because I suck at this. One more time.
There you go.
And there's a glare because our lighting sucks. Okay, so there's that.
And safe travels to you.
Yes.
Be safe out there on the road.
If somehow you're still traveling, and when if you have to travel back or any traveling, be safe. And we hope you have a wonderful time. And, you know, we have this happen with a lot of our LDR listeners who are, that we know about.
Mm-hmm.
They usually apologize. I'm like, why would you apologize to us? They're like, we're going to be together for 4 days. We won't be listening to the episode when it first comes out. That's okay. Go get you some. Okay.
Priorities.
I support that. Okay. So our next piece of mail, I will not say their names because I don't think they're their FET names. And so I'm not going to do that. But they, it's from Northern California.
Yes. NorCal Crickets.
Right. NorCal. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're from. I'm the person who's only visited California like 3 times. I'm going to say Northern California. And they've got a slang for it. But this is so cool. And I hope the camera does it justice.
Yeah.
So I am going to read the inside because it's a quote, so I can do that. But I want, we did take a picture and put it on, thank you.
There you go.
Teamwork.
Yep.
We did take a picture and put it on our Instagram at that handle I hate. So this is a homemade TARDIS card. Homemade.
It's so wicked cool.
Freaking awesome. Okay. So the quote is, when, it's from Doctor Who. And this one remembered which episode it was from. I'm like, what part of your memories, childhood memories, did you have to like give up to keep this lodged in your brain to remember it? That's what I want to know. So I'm going to read it. When you're a kid, they tell you it's all grow up, get a job, get married, get a house, have a kid, and that's it. But the truth is the world is so much stranger than that. It's so much darker and so much madder and so much better. And yes, the fuck it is. It is. And even if you're not a Time Lord with a TARDIS, it is. So they were like, they said that they love the show and they appreciate our hard work. Mm-hmm. And there are NorCal crickets. And this is so cool.
That's awesome.
So I can't. Where are you going? I don't know how opposite things work. This is why I can't back up when I'm driving.
See the car.
You have. Control my hand. Just control my hand.
I'm in control, yes.
Please, God.
That's
somebody
why I'm in
needs
control.
To be.
Okay.
This is so cool. So we have. He has a thing because he's the sentimental one. When there are cards, which recently there were birthday cards, they go up on the entertainment center. And so I knew I had seen this card standing up, like in a like being presented in a way. Like, what's the word I want? Like
being shown.
Yeah. There's a word. I can't think of the word.
Okay.
And I
displayed.
Displayed. That was. And I'm a writer, y'all. But I thought that he had done it up on the TV entertainment center, and I thought, well, that's where the family cards go because somebody's going to ask what the hell is the NorCal cricket, and I don't know if I can explain that. No, it was actually in our bedroom, which, to be fair, that's pretty much the place of honor, quite frankly, because that's.
Right.
That's like right there. And we see it every day. So yeah, this is really, this is so awesome.
It is.
All of it is awesome. This was great mail to get. I don't publish the address anymore because I know there's going to come a point very shortly in the future where that will no longer be good. And so I'm just linking to the information. Another thing I got that was for me personally, it's not us, but it is from my friend Misha, who I know listens. She got me this planner that I wanted because, and I'm paraphrasing here because she said it better than I'm going to paraphrase it, but basically anything she can do to help me reach my goals, she's willing to do. She's like, I want you to go cool. like make it happen, live your dreams, take over yep. the smutty world. And I'm like, okay.
Smutty domination.
Part of me likes that. And part of me is like, wait, what? I don't know that. What? No. Yes and no. No, anybody who's ever seen that reaction gif where the dude's trying to like, or and the woman, there's one for a man and one for one, trying yeah. to calculate the formula and just get that look of confusion. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel right now. Like, wait, that's good. That's bad. That's good. That's bad. Yeah. The things I have to talk about, I can't talk about because I have to save them for our bonus section on Patreon. They're all work related.
I'm pretty much as, I mean, I have had my head in the sand. Kind of lately. I mean, I'm either sitting here at the computer
working
something here. You know, one of the things I've been playing with, because we're doing doing this video now, I'm trying to learn to work with some video software. Mm-hmm. I've taken a very old video
playing
that
with
we
that,
had
yeah.
and I made a copy of it, and I'm just butchering it to hell.
To play with it.
To play
yeah.
with it.
I'm glad you are, because
I
don't edit video.
Yeah. You know, part of that, it is, I know everywhere right now, for whatever reason, it's summer, but, you know, I know that's the reason, but, you know, it's hot all over the country. But yeah.
Record heat waves in most of the country.
In most of the country. And, you know, I have been working in the shop, but it's been very limited because mm-hmm. of the heat. You know, my shop is my garage. I don't have any air conditioning out there. I have a fan. And
all it's doing is moving around hot air.
Hot air.
I could do that for you for free, Daddy.
That's what ball gags are for.
I'm okay with that, too. We haven't played with that in a while.
So, you know, I have been out in the shop, not as much as I would like to be. I've got, you know, stuff I want to do. It's like, come on, summer.
I know. I know. And, you know, that's, yeah, next weekend, last weekend of July, we're going to go do some exploring to try and get an idea of where you want to move next summer.
You kind of visually scope out and go through some of the areas we've been talking about that we want to maybe land in.
And it's funny because the place before we even decided we thought we would move, we had fallen in love with parts of Ocala, Florida, where I have family living, because there are certain parts still that are very open and big lots. And
yes.
And there are still active horse farms there and horse breeding and thoroughbred. And it's just this very, there's parts of it that have some things you'd find in not a major metro city, but you know, a bigger town, a bigger city.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have some of the more rural green spaces and yes. trees, and you don't have to live on a lot that's the size of a postage stamp if
no.
you don't want to. And we still have some of those
mm-hmm.
in that part of Florida. And so that was what started us thinking that maybe we wanted to, what we were saying at the time was eventually move away from this area. And that was what inspired it. And then as we were talking about where to live, I got, I think we both did, really attached to the idea of Alachua County.
It's
where Gainesville is, if you don't know Florida geography. And why don't you? Come on, weren't you in my fourth grade Florida geography class?
oh, boy. So,
actually, I don't know all 67 counties. I only know the ones I've been to. Okay. But now I'm back to thinking Marion County and Ocala and some of that. So I don't think this next weekend is going to be
the deciding factor,
but maybe we'll be able to narrow it down and decide a little bit better, because it really is a lot of factors. It's housing costs.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to rent for a year before we buy. So we make sure wherever we buy is in an area we really do want to live.
Yeah.
That was advice from our realtor, which was brilliant.
And that way we don't have to buy too quickly. We can take our time and find exactly what we want.
But there's there's the housing market wherever we go that we have to consider. The reason we're, one of the reasons we're leaving this area is because it's too freaking expensive to live here anymore. If we wanted to buy a bigger house, we couldn't afford it.
No.
Not in a place that we felt safe.
Yeah.
Literally. And then we have to consider the schools for the boys, and there's a lot of factors to it that, you know, at one time in life there didn't matter, right? So yeah, we're starting that process. We have done work around the house.
Yeah.
We just had an electrician in yesterday. I tweeted about it for like a good 45 minutes. It was like the kitchen.
Your electrician exploits.
My electrician saga.
Yes.
So, you know, we're doing that kind of stuff. Next month, I'm going to Oregon.
Yeah.
And I've already had one person whom I adore ask about maybe, you know, getting a cup of coffee. I'm going on my aunt is paying for this trip. I'm very fortunate for that. I'm going on her dime, and she has plans. So we're going for a reason. We're going for a conference. And then she's already like constantly sending me text messages and emails of, we can go do this, and I want to go here, and I've rented us a car. And I was like, I was just going to Uber it. It's like, or I think the hotel is within walking distance of the conference center. I was like, I was just going to walk. What? I said, I don't drive in strange cities. You've met me. I'm anxious. And she's like, and she, God love her, she's not old by any stretch. She's like 53. But she's diabetic, and she's already had complications with it. So she's had multiple eye surgeries because of it. And she spent a year of her life blind in one eye, essentially, which had us all scared for her. But then I found out she was still driving herself places, yeah. And I went, you're what? Now, she's had successful eye surgery since then. And so she can mostly see with crazy prescription glasses, but she can't drive at night. She has, like, she's legally blind at night, and or whatever that term is. Somebody who understands this better will tell me the right term.
Like a night blindness, maybe?
Yeah, she cannot drive at night. And she said, no, I'll drive if we rent the car. I'm like, you're not allowed to drive. She's like, only at night? I was like, so we're not leaving the hotel after 4. I don't know what time it gets dark in Oregon, so you better tell me. We are not leaving after that time. Oh, no, and we better be back to the hotel before that time. No. So she's got lots and lots of plans. I don't even know what they all are yet. When we're going to go see her this weekend.
Yeah, not next weekend.
Next weekend. Oh, y'all.
This weekend is our community munch.
Yes, we're going to the munch. Yes. But so I'm hoping she will fill me in on all her plans. I'm not complaining, y'all. I offered to buy our meals that weren't included in the conference. Because she said, I don't expect you to pay me back for any of this. She said, there is one thing I would like you to pay me back for at some point, but it doesn't even have to be right now. Because it was this extra thing that she didn't ask me if I wanted, but she bought it anyway. And I'm like, you're footing the bill for the whole damn trip.
Surprise.
I'll pay you back. It's fine. So yeah, so there's, yeah, I'm going to not a southern state in the middle of and then somebody tell me if this
you're
is.
You're going the exact opposite of a southern
I'm
state.
I'm going to almost, if we, in the contiguous United States, yeah. I'm going to the other corner, catty corner. Of the country. So that's coming up, and eventually I should probably start thinking about that. I've, like, got stuff going on.
Yeah,
I'm not really thinking about that.
Getting close.
It happens right after the kids go back to school.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Boy.
They go back on a Monday, and I think on Tuesday we fly out. Might be Wednesday we fly out. I don't even know that either. And I'm just going to we're flying out on the same flight, though.
You're winging it.
Something. Winging a prayer. Pun meister. So we have talked way long time.
Yes, we have.
Is there anything else you can think of?
I'm good.
We have stuff, and we'll have more stuff, because we have the munch this weekend, so I'm sure we'll have stuff to chat about from that next time. Mm-hmm. All kinds. We have stuff.
Yeah.
Just stuff.
All right.
I know.
Let's let these good people go. We have things to do, too.
I know. They probably had to listen to this episode in stages just to get there.
Right? I know.
Sorry, not sorry.
All right,
sorry.
Thanks.
Okay, y'all. We love you.
We love you. Thank you for being here with us and supporting us and thinking of us. And,
yes.
You know, I get messages from you folks on Twitter through Tumblr, you know, telling, you know, us, me, how... you know, you've listened to us, how, you know, the things we've talked about have helped you. Yeah. And, you know, it's wonderful to hear that. It's uplifting
when you hear that. It helps us. I mean, I know you go through it I'm just more vocal about going through it. You know, sometimes we start wondering, is what we're doing, does it matter to anybody? Yeah. Or are, you know,
are we just talking to ourselves?
I know we're not talking to ourselves. No, I can see the numbers, but it's one thing to talk to people, and it's another thing to actually help people. And we do this because we hope it will be helpful. Right. We would like to be entertaining too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm too much of a clown for that not to be a thing, but we want to be able to help people. And, y'all's messages, even if there's a question in there of like, you know, and especially maybe when there's a question, I've not had a single message yet ever that didn't start out with, oh my gosh, thank you. Mm-hmm. You're welcome, by the way. You are absolutely welcome. We do it for you guys. And then, you know, and then a lot of people are so sweet. They're like, I know I'm asking a lot, but would you mind? And I wouldn't make my contact information public. I wouldn't tell you on this episode, in these shows, neither of us would. To go ahead and contact us. I do have to take longer to answer now. My mental energy has to be taken into account. And sometimes I'm at the end of a rope that has nothing to do with you guys, but I'm not going to give you a flippant bullshit answer just to clear my inbox. I might make you wait until I'm at a point where I can go,
mm-hmm.
okay, I can take this in and I can think about it and I can give an honest answer. So thank you. Yes. Thank you for letting us know that we're even remotely helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And we're glad, that's why we do it.
Yeah.
So, and we love our crickets. Y'all know we love our crickets. So, okay, we have to say goodbye, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.